And essentially, we are alive together. We are alive together with Christ for His glory. That is the vision. That's what we shoot for. We want to be alive together, literally alive together with Christ for His glory. And essentially, that plays out by living, growing, and giving the love of Jesus. And we've been talking about growth and what that means in the context of this church. And I don't know. I'm just excited about what God's doing among us. I really am honored to be a part of the kingdom movement here at the Vineyard. And I want to encourage you guys to strap on your three-point harness. And, you know, this rocket ship's launching at Godspeed in an exciting move of the Holy Spirit. I just feel it. I declared last week that we are at a stage where we've been in the ground, the dark soil of God's love, rooted in that good, rich, dark soil. We've kind of been in a dying period of sorts where the seed has fallen to the ground. And anybody knows anything about agriculture, the seed has to die and break open before life springs forth. And that's kind of where we've been for the last, I would say, year anyway. And I mentioned to you last week that when I planted stuff in the garden, we worked in the garden, I went out there every day going, when is life going to spring? You know, when is life going to spring up? And finally, one day, I walked out and I saw this little bud of green come out of the ground, come out of the dark soil. And I was like, yes, there's life. There's life. And I really believe that's where we are right now. We've just sprouted out of the ground. We've just come to life here in the Vineyard personally and corporately here in this local congregation. And I am excited about that. I'm totally excited about that. I want to say publicly that I'm greatly encouraged and truly expectant for the continued growth of the life of Christ and His Spirit in this church. I'm truly expectant for the growth of the life of Christ and His Holy Spirit in this church. And to that end, let me just say, Jesus, magnify Yourself in this place. Magnify Yourself among us, and come, Holy Spirit. I just ask You, Lord, to come. Come, Holy Spirit. Send Your reign on this place. Let me just give you a brief recap of what we've been talking about. For the past couple of weeks, we've discussed the second element, like I said, to grow the love of Jesus. And we stated that one of the key elements for growth in agriculture was good soil. In a very real way, the same holds true for kingdom growth. We talked about Ephesians chapter 3, where Paul prays and he says, hey, I pray that as you're rooted and grounded in the rich, nutritious, awesome, just rich soil of Jesus Christ's love, that you would understand the height, the width, the breadth, the depth of His love for you. And everything that we do, I said, everything that we do here in this Vineyard Church is from the foundation of being rooted, planted in the good soil of Jesus Christ's love, the good, rich compost of Jesus Christ's love. And we talked about how nutritious that love is and that everything we do should flow from that place of God's love through Christ Jesus. Apart from the love of Christ, all our ministry efforts are futile. Let me hear you say amen to that. Apart from the love of Christ, all of our ministry efforts fall to the ground. Apart from being rooted and grounded in the rich soil of Christ's love, we cannot do anything. Then we discuss another element needed for the growth of the body, and that's planting and pollinating the seed of God's kingdom, namely the Word of God. We discussed that unless we die, I just mentioned a second ago, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, the Scripture says very clearly, there will be no life, there will be no fruitfulness, there will be no growth. And I said that we have gone through a season of death, and that death was not a bad thing. That death was not a bad thing. We were planted and rooted in God's soil of Jesus Christ's love, and there was a process that God is undertaking, a process that God is going through to bring us to life. And unless we die, there will be no fruitfulness. And then we also said that growth can only occur through the non-discriminatory sowing and pollinating of the righteous seed of God's Word. We said we don't throw the seed at people, but we sow not sparingly, but just overwhelmingly, we sow the seed of God's love. We throw it no matter where we can, where we go. We throw the seed, the righteous seed of God's love. And we throw it with grace and with love. And we just look expectantly for the kingdom to be manifest in that growth. So I made the statement essentially that here we can't throw the seed of God's love unless we have the seed, right? Unless we possess the seed, unless we understand, unless we consume, unless we totally get engulfed in God's word, we can't sow that word. So the element of God's growth through his word is imperative for us, and we have to dive into his word and eat it and consume it and let it guide us and shape us. And then I said, essentially, that from that sowing, from that death, and from that sowing, we can expect a kingdom reality. We can expect a kingdom growth in our efforts. If we are in his love, if we die to ourselves, and we sow generously the word of God, then we can expect a kingdom reality. Jesus says it like this: you can expect some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. In that culture, in that day, a good crop was tenfold. A healthy crop was tenfold. In the kingdom, we can expect 30, 60, even 100-fold. So the idea of the mustard seed being the smallest seed of agriculture, when you sow that mustard seed, it's the idea in the kingdom is that it grows into this huge bush, this huge kingdom bush where birds come and make their nests, where people find refuge. And that's what we can expect as we are rooted in his love, as we sow willingly the seed of God's love. We can expect a kingdom reality that he will give us a 30, 60, 100-fold. So, nice agricultural lesson. There's one element that I'd like to kind of wrap up this growth part with. And it is no coincidence, I'll just share with you, it's no coincidence that we're singing about the reign of God today, and that the Lord put that on the hearts of the prayer team and those who gather to pray every week. The reign of God's love. Everybody knows that growth cannot occur. We plant something out there and we don't water it, we don't get any rain, it will not flourish, it will die. And today I just want to say one element that we desperately need in this church for growth to happen is plenty of water, plenty of the rain of God's Spirit. We desperately need the rain of God's Spirit. Water is one of the most essential commodities for human survival, second only to breathable air. The interesting thing is that Jesus and other places in the scripture both refer to the Holy Spirit as both water and breath, water and air, the two highest priorities in life. Breath, breathable air, and water. And I think in a very real sense for us as the church in the Sonoya Vineyard, for us here in this local congregation, the two highest priorities for us is the water of the Holy Spirit and the breath of the Spirit. We desperately need him to rain down on us. We desperately need for him to blow the wind of his Spirit into this place. Otherwise, we're just kind of a social club that's gathering and doing some cool stuff. You know, we might do some benevolent ministry. We might encourage one another, give somebody a big smile. But without the water and the deluge of Jesus Christ's Spirit in this place, we will not flourish. We will not grow. And that's what I want to talk about today. From my understanding of the Scripture, whether or not we experience fruitful growth in our life with Christ depends in large part on the presence of plenty of water. More specifically, plenty of the Holy Spirit. I will go as far as to say that without the water of the Spirit in our lives, we will not grow into the full kingdom bush that I just spoke about a second ago. Here's what Jesus understood about this reality in John chapter 16, verses 5 through 15. He says this: "But now I am going to him who sent me, And none of you asked me, where are you going? But because I said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage. Everybody say, to your advantage. I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So Jesus understood this reality for his disciples. He said to them, you're sorrowful because I'm going away. I told you I'm going away, and you're sorrowful because I'm going away. I'm just going to be honest with you. I'd be sorrowful too if I had been walking step in step with Jesus Christ, the living God, and seen the wonders and the signs that he performed, seen the encouragement in the Spirit through the words that he spoke and proclaimed, seen all the awesome stuff that Jesus Christ did. I would be sorrowful too. Lord, no, don't leave. We need you. We need you to walk with us. Don't leave. It is, and Jesus says to us in that regard, it is to your advantage that I go away. Because if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit will not come. The Holy Spirit, the Helper, will not come. But if I go away, I will send him to you. And all that I have, everything that I have, he will give to you. Because he won't speak of his own accord, but he will glorify my Father who's in heaven. He will speak only what the God of heaven says to him to speak. And he will give it to us. Jesus understood this reality that we don't grow, we don't flourish in our life with Christ as a follower of Jesus Christ unless the Holy Spirit comes, unless the Holy Spirit magnifies Jesus in us. And again, after his resurrection, if you weren't convinced at this point, let me just see if I can further this discussion. Acts 1, 5 through 8, he says to his disciples again, after his resurrection, here's the deal. He's getting ready to get beamed up. He's getting ready to get just taken up into the air. And he says, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, to the end of the earth. He says, you will receive power not many days from now. And when that Holy Spirit, when the deluge of the Spirit of God rains down in that place where you'll be praying and waiting, you will receive power. And that power will be the very thing that propels you into being my witness, being the representation of Jesus Christ. It is only by the power of the Spirit. It is only by the rain of the Spirit washing down on us. It's only by the wind of God's Spirit just filling us to overflowing that we can be his witnesses. Otherwise, we're just trying to do something that we are not capable of doing. And we beat our heads up against the wall going, why can I not be powerful in Jesus Christ? Why am I still not an overcomer in Jesus Christ? Why am I not victorious? Quite possibly, it could be that you are making efforts to do this life with Christ without the power of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says to his disciples, go and wait until the power of the Holy Spirit comes, and then, and only then will you be able to be my witnesses. Jesus certainly was aware of the Spirit's activity in his own life, in his own ministry, and knew that it was imperative that he be glorified so that he could send his Spirit. Quite possibly, he was thinking of the river of God that's flowing from the temple that was seen in the prophet Ezekiel in a vision that would not only bring fruitfulness to the land, but bring provision and healing for the inhabitants of the land. I'm going to turn there really quickly just to read that. I think that's an encouraging passage, and it goes really well with what we're talking about today. Ezekiel chapter 47. Ezekiel 47, if you want to turn there. Ezekiel's getting this vision, and man, I'm just going to go ahead and declare, Lord, I'd like a vision like this, you know, just overwhelm me with some really clear, awesome vision like this. This is amazing. Then he brought me to the back door of the temple, and behold, water was issuing from below the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the temple faced east. The water was flowing down from below the south end into the threshold of the temple south of the altar. Then he brought me out by the way of the north gate and led me around on the outside of the outer gate that faces toward the east. And behold, the water was trickling out on the south side. Going on eastward with a measuring line in his hand, the man measured 1,000 cubits and then led me through the water, and it was ankle deep. Again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, and it was knee deep. Again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, and it was waist deep. Again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass through, for the water had risen. It was deep enough to swim in, a river that could not be passed through. Just as an aside, maybe an important aside, this is what I'm looking for on Saturday nights when we come, you know, to just wade out deep into the river of God that we can't even hardly pass through. So I won't charge you any extra for that, but that's what I'm looking for. And he said to me, Son of man, have you seen this? Then he led me back to the bank of the river, and I went back, and I saw on the bank of the river very many trees on one side and on the other. And he said to me, this water flows toward the eastern region and goes down into Araba and enters the sea. When the water flows into the sea, the water will become fresh. And wherever the river goes, every living creature that swarms will live. Every living creature that swarms will live. Wherever the water goes, every living creature that swarms will live. And there will be very many fish, for the water goes there, that the waters of the sea may become fresh, so that everything will live where the river goes. Fishermen will stand beside the sea from Engedi, and kind of a hard word, it will be a place for the spreading of nets. The fish will be of very many kinds, like the fish of the great sea, but its swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They are to be left for salt. And on the banks, on both sides of the river, there will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither, nor their fruit fail, but they will bear fresh fruit every month, because the water for them flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food, and their leaves for healing. Man, that's awesome. That's awesome. This is what the Spirit of God brings to us. He flows through us in his sanctuary. We are his sanctuary. We are the sanctuary of the living God. We are the temple of God. And what I want, in a very real sense, in a very spiritual sense, that the water of God's river would flow through us, the sanctuary, so that when we flow out of here, trees and fish swarm and life springs forth and healing comes and food is taken to eat from the river of God plentifully grows the stuff around us. Let the river of God flow through us so that we can be just a river of God's life to those we come in contact with. And when that river flows, growth happens. Life springs forth. Trees grow and are fruitful. Their leaves don't wither. We are in desperate need of the power and the water of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Maybe Jesus was thinking about this. as he talked about the Holy Spirit. Maybe he looked ahead and saw his church, his sanctuary, with the river of God beginning an ankle deep and then just flooding like a river through his people. We could go through and through the scripture on and talk about the person of the Holy Spirit and his different functions and the things that describe him in the life of the believer. But I want to focus on two elements today of the Spirit's activity in this church for the follower of Christ here. For the sake of clarity and hopefully some retention, I don't know if this will be helpful or not, I'd like to use a variation of the scientific formula for water, which is H2O. This is really cheesy, but sometimes cheesy is good. the scientific formula for water is H2O, right? Two parts, is it hydrogen and one part oxygen? Well, I'm going to just do a little twist on it here today. There's two functions or two elements of the Holy Spirit at work, and he does two things in our life. He outpours and he overflows. He sends an outpouring, and then he overflows out of us. And if we don't have an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, a baptism of sorts, as Brian talked about last time in the Hebrew, a mikvah, an immersion, an outpouring of God's Spirit, we cannot flow in the Holy Spirit. We cannot express the life of God through his Spirit unless the Lord outpours his Spirit on us. So he does two basic things. There's two elements of the Holy Spirit, two parts, and those functions and parts are outpouring and overflowing. The first element is an outpouring. Turn with me to Acts 2, 14 through 18. Acts 2, 14 through 18. This is after the Holy Spirit has come and people are freaking out, going, what in the world is going on with these crazy people? Have they consumed too much alcohol or what's the deal? And Peter stands up. He says, but Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days, it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Everybody say, all flesh. All flesh. Say that again. That was awesome. One more time. All flesh. Yeah, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out. Everybody say, pour out. Pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. They shall prophesy. So the first element of the Holy Spirit, the first function of the Holy Spirit is to outpour on us, to just baptize us, to rain down on us, rain his Holy Spirit down on us. And you see Peter, after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Peter with the foot-shaped mouth, Peter standing up in front of all these people, Peter declaring the first sermon, and it's a powerful one. It's a powerful one. He gets up there, and he tells it like it is, and the brothers and all the people that are there say, dudes, brothers, what should we do? What should we do? And he hits them this time in between the eyes. Repent. Turn to Jesus. This Jesus that you crucified, all these things. He says, repent. Peter gets up under the anointing from the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and declares the goodness of the living God. And people in his earshot, people who heard him speak, were cut to the heart because of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, because of his function in Peter's life and those who were there. This is the inaugural event that Jesus referred to multiple times as he spoke with his disciples. We just read a few a little bit earlier. This is the outpouring that would activate the perpetual river that Ezekiel talks about. This is the outpouring that starts at ankle deep and goes waist deep and chest deep and then flows like a river through his sanctuary. This is the outpouring that starts the flow of the Holy Spirit. And we desperately need an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in this place. This is the outpouring that would, according to Jesus in Acts 1, give power to the disciples to be the witnesses of Jesus. This is the outpouring subsequent to the glorification of Jesus Christ or the ascension of Jesus that would give gifts to men that Ephesians 4 talks about. And we'll get there in just a minute. This is the outpouring that would send the comforter, the counselor, the helper, the advocate, the intercessor, the strengthener. This is the outpouring that we need desperately in this place. Can I just cry out for a moment? Cry out to God for the Sonoya Vineyard. If you're visiting with us, just give me a second. Lord, send your rain in this place. Lord, send your rain in this place. Pour out your Spirit. We ask you. We just specifically ask you for an outpouring of your Spirit. And we recognize that you have said in your word that when we ask for your Spirit, you won't give us a stone. You won't give us a serpent. You will give us your Spirit because you are a good God. You are a good God, and we who are evil know how to give good gifts to our children. How much more will our Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to us? So we cry out to you today, Lord, for an outpouring of your Spirit. Rain down on us, Lord. Rain down on us here in the Sonoya Vineyard. We cry out, Lord. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't be like the people the prophet Jeremiah spoke of in 2:13 that committed two evils. Here's the evils they committed, forsaking the fountain of the living God and hewned out cisterns that can hold no water. Lord, let us not be a people that Jeremiah spoke of that forsaked the fountain of the living God, that forsake the rich flowing water of God's Spirit. Let us not be a people that forsakes the fountain of the living God and tries to carve out cisterns of our own devices that we try to fill and we try to do our church thing. Let us not be that kind of people, but let us be people hungry for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, give us your Spirit in the name of Jesus for the glory of the great name of Jesus in Sonoya. Give us your Spirit, God. We cry out to you. The reality for us in life with Christ is that we can't walk in power or experience supernatural growth without the initial and perpetual outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our life. We cannot. The second and final thing I'd like to talk about today is that when the Spirit of God sends an outpouring, when he comes in an outpouring, when he overflows on us, when he baptizes us, it is not just for us. We don't just get to bask in the fun waters of the river of God and the Holy Spirit. We don't just get to splash around and have a good time. And this feels great. This is awesome. Come join me. We're going to kick around, splash each other a little bit. The outpouring of God's Spirit is not just for us. And I would even go as far to say it's not primarily for us. When the Holy Spirit pours out on us, the natural progression of that outpouring is an overflowing. This river that Ezekiel talks about, this river flows and flows and it becomes a river that you can't even stand up in. It rushes and it flows and this river fills up from the sanctuary and out of the sanctuary it flows like a river to everyone who comes in contact with it. They can't even swim in it. They can't even stand it. But it's for the people who we are encountering on a daily basis. The Spirit of the living God flows through us, the sanctuary. And out from us, overflowing, the Spirit overflows to to one another and to everyone that we come in contact with. And I would say that is the primary purpose for the outflowing of the Spirit, the outpouring of the Spirit, is that we would overflow, the overwhelming power, love, healing nature of the living God to one another and to our community. This reality is expressed in John chapter 7, if you want to turn there really quickly. John chapter 7, verse 38 and 39. Jesus is standing up on the last day of the great feast, and from what I understand of that feast, maybe Brian can do a, he might have already done it, I don't know, but standing up there, there's something to do with an outpouring on that last day of the great feast. There's a pouring out, something to do with water. I don't really fully understand it. But on the last day of that great feast that Jesus is standing in the midst of right here, there's something to do with outpouring of water. And he says, "Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. And he says, those who believe in me, there's going to come a day, in this day that we just talked about, when the Spirit of God poured out himself on the believers there. And it wasn't just for the believers to have this rip-roaring, awesome Pentecost time. It was for the outflowing of God's Spirit to mankind, for those 3,000 people that were added to the church that day, because of the spiritual outpouring and the overflowing of God's love and his word and his righteousness and his awesome power. This is what God has poured out his Spirit on us for, to flow, to overflow to everyone that we come in contact with. Also, as Jesus talked to the woman at the well in John chapter 4, a couple of chapters earlier, Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again." Talking about the well, the natural well that was right there they were drawing water from. "But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Again, he's talking about the Holy Spirit. As you drink in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, as you just say, "Come, Lord, send that deluge of rain over me. Fill me to overflowing. Let that water of life spring forth from within me to bless those who I come in contact with, to minister to those in the body, to minister to those that are in our community. Overflow in me the love of Jesus Christ today." We can say with certainty that if there is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life, that there is a subsequent and perpetual overflowing of that same Spirit onto the lives of others for their sake and for the glory of God in our day. Anything that we do as followers of Jesus Christ for the sake of the kingdom of God must come out of an overflow of the Spirit of God, in order for there to be a kingdom harvest, in order for there to be growth. This is a reality. So what does this look like for us here at the Vineyard? How does this practically work out? You know, we talked about being rooted and grounded in the love of Jesus Christ. We've talked about the seed, us as a church being seed that falls to the ground and dies and looks expectantly for kingdom growth. We've also talked about the seed of God's word, the kingdom righteousness of God's word. We've talked about that seed. But how does this water fit into this context? How do we grow? What is the function of the water of the Holy Spirit? Well, I mean, this is a very limited look at it, but you can look at three passages of Scripture, and we won't turn there for the sake of time, but Romans chapter 12, I encourage you to read Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and Ephesians chapter 4. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4. This, in every context that this is talking about in these passages of Scripture, it is in the context of the Spirit of God manifesting himself in the life of the church, in the life of the believers. Every time it's in the context of the gathering, the gathering of the body of Christ right here locally in the Sonoya Vineyard. It is very real for us today. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and Ephesians chapter 4. Romans 12 talks about the gifts of grace that were given. If prophecy, then prophesy. If you have the gift of encouragement, then encourage. If you have the gift of teaching, then teach. The Spirit of God flows out from the throne room of... I'm sorry, I didn't mean to spit on you. The Spirit of God flows out from the throne room of grace and just overflows His grace to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and gifts of healing, gifts of faith, gifts of prophecy, all the gifts of the Holy Spirit that come and just, woo, fill us to overflowing. Ephesians chapter 4, as Jesus Christ is glorified, He makes the statement, I have not yet been glorified, and this is why the Spirit hasn't come. But when I am glorified, when I am lifted up to the place of honor at God's right hand, I will send my Spirit. And when I send my Spirit, I'll give gifts to men. I'll give gifts to men. Prophets, evangelists, teachers, pastors. This is how this works out for us practically. When we meet right here, we're not just meeting to come fill a couple of chairs and sing a few songs and hear about Jesus. We're here for the Holy Spirit to empower whoever is communicating. You have experienced today in this place the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Maybe a gift of encouragement. I know a gift of prophecy, a gift of building up and encouraging from Sarah. She declared the holiness of the living God. She declared the holiness of God in this place, not by her own strength, but by the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And this is what happens when the Spirit of God flows through us. When we play our instruments today, especially, you know, just Andrew just rocking the drums today, it wasn't because just his skill, is because the Spirit of the living God has empowered him to play his instrument. I can't even play the bongos, and the Lord was just all over me up there. Sweating like crazy. I mean, you come try to shake and hit the bongos. I can't do that. This is what happens when the Spirit of the living God comes into a place. He begins to overflow out of us, and we experience the life-giving power of Jesus Christ by His Spirit, because that's what's natural. The river flows from within us, a spring of life, the Scripture says. Ephesians chapter 4 talks about the offices, the gifts, I don't really even know how to describe them, but the prophets, the evangelists, the teachers. I hope and I pray, I just want you to know that I pray on a regular basis, and I pray for whoever is communicating the word of Jesus Christ, that it wouldn't just be getting up here and regurgitating some words and speaking from a page or an iPad or whatever, but it would be literally from the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I mean, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I'm not that good a speaker, and I can't keep you coming back for more if I got nothing but my own stuff. If the Holy Spirit is not empowering me to speak the words that He has commanded me to speak, then it will fall to the ground. And you guys, I can say this with honesty. Over the last year, I have gotten up here just trying to do stuff in my own strength. And Lord, can we see how bad that is? That's bad. It's really bad. I mean, I can't even stand myself. I don't know how much you can stand me. Listen to those things. I'm putting them on the website. You've got to be kidding me. Did I really say that? If the Holy Spirit doesn't empower whoever gets up here to speak, it will fall to the ground and it will not be fruitful for His kingdom. So I just say today that I will do everything that I can to be before the Lord and ask Him to empower me with His Spirit, to overflow out of me the life-giving water of the Spirit. Because otherwise we should just all go home and find another, another place to go worship together. And I want to encourage you the same. There's several small groups that are meeting right now. We got one at my house, and a couple spread out, at Barry's house and in different places. I don't know about you and what your experience is in your other small groups. I've heard some good testimony from Sarah's house. I've heard some awesome stuff happening in the groups that are meeting. But in my group, personally, I experience the overflow of the Spirit of the living God. As we gather at my house, we eat, we encourage one another, we do life together, we are alive together. This is awesome. And this is why we exist, to grow together into the image of Jesus Christ. And we don't grow in the kingdom unless the Holy Spirit is upon us. The Holy Spirit is poured out on us, and the Holy Spirit is overflowing among us. This is what it practically looks like. So I would encourage you, as we come to gather to worship the living God in this setting right here particularly, let's be expectant for the Holy Spirit to overflow out of us. Look, if you've got a gift of hospitality, let me just encourage you to use it. Let me just encourage you to stand back there at the door and look for opportunities to encourage somebody who comes into this place. God Himself has outpoured His Spirit on me for the gift of hospitality, and I will use it for His kingdom. I will use it to encourage the body. I will use it to encourage people that come into our midst. If God has poured out His Spirit on you with a gift of prophecy, let me encourage you to use it. Let me encourage you to practice that gift, to speak out, as a lot like what Sarah did today. If the Spirit of the living God has given you a gift of teaching, Robert, let me encourage you to use it. Sorry, man. This is how it works out, and this is how we grow. This is how we grow. If the Spirit is going to pour out Himself on me, He's got to know that I'm going to be willing to overflow His Spirit. If He's going to pour out on us as a church corporately, He's got to know that we will be willing to overflow that Spirit. We won't be willing to just contain it to ourselves. Oh, this feels good. I like this. You know what happens when water comes into a place and it stays there? It doesn't flow out. Does anybody know what happens? It becomes stagnant. And there's like algae and nasty fungus on top of it. It stinks. I don't want to stink. So if the Holy Spirit is going to pour Himself out on us, if He is going to just come from heaven, the river of the living God, and rush through this sanctuary, His Spirit, then we need to be willing to overflow that Spirit to one another and to our community. Let me just say something real right here. Really real. How many people have you seen baptized in this church in the last year? Lord, forgive us. Lord, forgive us for being willing to just sit here and do our stuff and take the good water of the river of the living God and just hoard it for ourselves, God. Forgive us, God. Lord, we pray that You would renew a right spirit within us. You would renew Your Spirit, Lord. Just pour out Your Spirit on us, that we would overflow, God. And the life of the living God would be very real for us and for those around us, God. People would want to come and drink from this well-watered garden, from this well-watered spring, God. Let Your Spirit pour out on us, God. Forgive us for our complacency. Yeah.
I felt God telling me something very practical for us too. I think this kind of adds to what Brent's been saying. And when you talk about expressing the gifts like hospitality and praying for people and doing stuff here at church, I think something went through a lot of your minds where you're like, huh. Hospitality. I walk in here drained and tired. I need hospitality. I'm the one that needs a handshake or a smile. I got nothing. I come to church and I got nothing. I can't be pouring out the Holy Spirit. So the rain and drinking from the water, that all sounds really good. But I think some of us are like, what does that mean? What do I do with that? So I just want to get really, really practical about why do we feel like we don't experience the Holy Spirit sometimes? And frankly, if you're going to come here, if you're going to go out in the community, and it's great that God pours out His Holy Spirit here, we should seek that. But if you're going to spend the whole week out in the community sowing seeds and taking the Spirit to other people, you need more than just on Sunday. And if you're going to come in here and walk in, first thing, be hospitable to the people that come in here, you can't wait until the worship time or the sermon to get filled with the Holy Spirit, right? You got to come filled. But we feel dry. Why do we feel dry? I love the picture of the rain. And that's a great picture for how the Holy Spirit comes. But we kind of feel like we're sometimes in a desert where we just don't feel the rain. It's like, there's no rain. God, bring the rain. But I like this picture that I felt like God gave me. If you look at a map at any given time, go on one of the weather websites and take a look, it's always raining somewhere, right? You might not be feeling it at the moment, but it's always raining somewhere. And in the same way, the Holy Spirit is always raining. It's always happening. You may not feel it at the moment, but it's always happening. So why don't we feel it? I think it's because we run from it. Just this weekend, Sarah and I were actually not supposed to be here in my plans. We were supposed to be camping. And I looked at the weather forecast and thought, nah, I'm not going to sit inside a wet tent and get waterlogged the whole weekend. So we rescheduled and we came back, but we actually ran from the rain. And that happens all the time. You go outside, you go to a grocery store or something, and when it's raining, you see people strolling along, enjoying it. No, they either got an umbrella or they're booking it to the store, right? And that happens all the time. We go outside and we rush. We try to avoid the rain. We cancel our plans. We stay inside. And this is something that God's been showing me the last few weeks about me too. I think in the same way that we run from rain, weather rain, water rain, we run from the rain of the Holy Spirit. And I've been really impressed lately with the writings of Blaise Pascal. He was a mathematician. I'm sure you've heard of him. But he was also a really strong Christian, and he was a philosopher as well. And one of the things he said was, I have often said that the sole cause of man's unhappiness is that he does not know how to stay quietly in his room. And Peter Kreeft, who was put together some of Blaise Pascal's writings and was talking about it, added this, which I thought was really good. We want to complexify our lives. We want to. We want to be harried and hassled and busy. Unconsciously, we want the very things that we complain about. For if we had leisure, we would look at ourselves and listen to our hearts and see the great gaping hole in our hearts and be terrified, because that hole is so big that nothing but God will fill it. So we run around like conscientious little bugs, scared rabbits, dancing attendants on our machines, our slave, and making them our masters. We think we want peace and silence and freedom and leisure, but deep down we know that this would be unendurable to us, like a dark, empty room without distractions where we would be forced to confront ourselves. And I just want to look at that in Acts where the Holy Spirit was poured out on the believers. The Holy Spirit came in Acts 2, and talks about the wind, the rushing wind, and the signs of the Holy Spirit. But if you look back a few verses, in Acts 1, if you look at 12, I believe it's 12, let me see here. Yeah, so it says, they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem on Sabbath day's journey away. And when they entered, they went to the upper room, where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. And look what they did. And remember, this is before the Holy Spirit came to them, before they got wet. All these, with one accord, were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. So I want to give you that picture. If you think about yourself and how you act like when it rains outside, we rush away from it. We stay indoors. We run. We try not to get wet. And I don't think we consciously do it with the Holy Spirit, but there's this subconscious part of us that's scared to be silent, scared to be quiet. And so we fill our lives with stuff. We sit down. If we go in the living room for 2 seconds, the TV remote has to come out. If we go in the car, we got to turn the radio on because we need that noise. We fill our lives with hobbies. We are always going somewhere. There's just so much going on. We can't put our iPhones down for 2 seconds. Yeah. And I want you... Yeah, I'm guilty too.
Oh, me, I should have said.
So I want you to make that connection. Just like you run away from the rain when it rains outside, you're running away from the rain of the Holy Spirit. It's always raining somewhere. And if you just pause and take time, it's scary to enter into that place of quiet, whether it's with yourself or with someone else. But unless we do, we're not going to be able to hear the Holy Spirit. We've got so many thoughts. We've all got ADD to some extent. I can only hold a thought in my head for 2 seconds unless I have a microphone, right? So, and I know you guys have been distracted just sitting here. We're so, so distracted. So many things going on. So many diversions. And partly we bring it on ourselves on purpose because we don't want to go to that place of quiet and get with God and listen to what he's doing. If I could just encourage you this week, don't run from the rain. Start with a few minutes. Take 5 minutes and just sit there and pray and meditate and connect with the Holy Spirit and figure out what he's doing. If you don't run from it, you'll feel it. You'll get that water. You'll get that power. You're going to show up on Sunday ready to be hospitable or give a word to someone because you're not dry when you walk in here because you've been soaking in the rain of the Holy Spirit all week long.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you, Lord. So let's just pray, you know.